Welcome to another episode of the books I read series. So you don't have to read them. I'll share ideas from them so you can just listen to this and go about your day and use them in your life. This is the classic one. One of the first books that I first read and I got started into actually reading. Honestly, basically, I didn't really get started by reading. I got more into like listening to audiobooks to get into reading eventually. But it's Atomic Habits by James Clear. Biggest bestseller right now. Classic. So what's in it for you? Let's talk about how small ideas and your habits are basically what will have the biggest impact on your life. If you want to make any positive changes, whether it's like eating healthier, learning a new language, Spanish will definitely come handy. So that's something I'm trying to learn. Learning the guitar, piano, whatever it is, you want to make choices that help you stick to them, not just for a little bit, but for the long term. So they get easier and easier over the long time. You can't just do something by wanting to do it. Sure, you can do it once, twice, but that habit will pass away if you don't actually have a system for it. And simply by saying things, there's so many times I might have said something I want to do or I've heard friends talk about, but it doesn't actually get done. So got to make sure that's happening as it's supposed to. So what you really can do is you don't need to have some life-changing moment, but you can just make small changes to your behavior, which repeated time and time again. This is where it could get boring because it's the same behavior time and time again. It'll lead to those big results. So let's talk about small habits. Imagine you're a plane taking off from the LA airport and your destination is, for example, let's take like, I guess, New York City, which is far away. You have all the information correct in the plane's computer. Plane takes off in the right direction. The weather's okay and everything. But imagine now you're the pilot and you accidentally change the direction on the heading by just like 2-3 degrees. Not a lot, not much, right? What happened? Seems like nothing. Once you realize, okay, the plane's shifted now and no one realizes, no one knows, nothing happens. But once you realize the time passes across the journey, you'll actually see the change is massive. Which plane that was supposed to go to New York City now finds itself over Washington, D.C. and landing there. And the pilot is just as confused. Like, why did this happen? And it's because small changes, negligible impact, but over the long term, they can completely change your life and where you're going. Same thing if you're getting into exercise. If you're out of shape today and you go a 20-minute jog, you will feel like, oh, that was hard and I don't see anything happening. But if you did that every single day for a long period of time, you'll definitely see results. And it's those repeating small behaviors every day that actually makes an impact.
When you walk into your room and the lights are off, what do? You automatically just turn on the switch. That's a habit because you don't have to think about it. It's just an automatic reaction to what you've learned from a past experience. This is a simple example, but it's so powerful. And a story is, in the 19th century, a psychologist named Edward Thorndike tried to answer this. His experiments were not the most animal friendly, and he kind of went about it this way. He put some cats in a black box, and he timed how long it took for them to escape. He desperately looked for a way to figure out what's going to happen. The cats sniffed, pawed on the walls, clawed everything, and eventually cats found the lever. When they pressed, they would open a door and let them escape. And he took the cats that successfully escaped and repeated it over and over, and he placed them in the box. And what did he find? After being put in the box a few times, each cat actually learned the trick. Instead of like scrambling around looking for things, the cats like knew what to hit, and they would just get out in like almost 6 seconds. Eventually, it became habitual for them to come out. And we learn more about habits in this experiment than like doing something else. Same thing when you walk into a dark room, it cues your performing action that allows you to see, which is by turning on the light quickly. You were a kid, you would have to find out, oh, where is it? How do I turn this on? That's why when you go to someone's house, it's kind of like, oh, like, how do I turn the lights on? So you have to look around. But if it's a place you've been to before 1,000 times or like your own room, it's just, you don't even have to look. You just react. Same thing with drinking coffee or tea every morning. You wake up, it's your cue, and it triggers you to feel or want to feel alert. And so your response is you like get up with enough energy just out of the bed to go make yourself a coffee. Once you take that first sip, you're feeling wide awake and ready to do whatever you want next. That's how they work. Building new habits, on the other hand, it's actually pretty hard, but it can be done with a plan of action and making some cues that are pretty hard to miss. So what can you do? A habit has 4 things that you need to remember. A cue, a trigger that gets you to act,
craving, and then finally a reward. So a cue is a trigger that gets you to act. A craving is a desire you want to achieve. And response is the action of what the habit actually is. And the reward is the feeling you get from completing that habit. The thing is, once you know how they work, you can start to hack the habit forming process to good, to stack them together even. We can take a musical instrument, and if it's the piano, you've got the instrument, you picked up the basics, but you struggle to keep up with the practice. And every morning you pick up, you tell yourself you'll play later on. At the end of the day comes and you haven't picked up the piano to play once. But now you know the secrets to building habits so you can use it to your advantage. In this case, you want to make the cue to pick up the piano, what you're going to do with it and play, impossible to miss. Instead of keeping it in the hidden area or like in a closet or something, you keep it in the living room and make it very obvious that it's in full view of yourself. So make your cue visible and unmissable. This makes it super easy to be able to see what's going to happen. And you want to trigger the feeling of, oh, I should do this and I plan to do this. And then once you actually end up doing the habit, you get the reward of feeling good about it. To make it even further, your intention matters. And implementation intention is something that can help us move beyond the vagueness. Implementation intentions introduce a clear plan of action. They help you set out when you carry out the habit and what you want to do with it. So instead of telling yourself you're going to play the piano sometime this week, you tell yourself, all right, on Monday and Fridays, I'll play the guitar, piano. I'll play the piano and practice for 30 minutes or 1 hour, whatever it is. So by having this specific plan of when and where you're going to do something, you make it much easier to make sure that habit actually gets built. Humans are motivated mostly by the anticipation of something happening or reward than even the actual process itself. So making something attractive is going to be even better and help you stick to them even better. So we're now halfway through, right? So we've seen how powerful habits can be, how they're made, what are their advantages, and let's see what else can we tell. So in 1954, neuroscientists James Old and Peter Milner ran an experiment. If you want to look it up, it's James Old and Peter Milner. And they wanted to look into neuroscience, sense of the brain, and what is behind desire. Dude, honestly, that could be a pretty good episode in itself. So they used electrodes and they blocked the release of dopamine in some rats. And imagine feeling good about anything at all, not at all, the whole day. And the results were actually pretty surprising for that time, was the rats lost the will to live. Without dopamine, they had no desire to eat, drink, do anything else. Just in a few days later, they all died of thirst because they didn't even have thirst because there wasn't dopamine. It's a pretty disturbing story, though. Dopamine is so crucial to what we do. Whether it's for drinking, dopamine is released and we feel good. This motivates us to do the action again and again. And so far, what does that have to do with habit building? Well, we don't actually have to do feeling good activity to get the hit of dopamine. It's just the anticipation of doing something good is enough to get it flowing. Our brain works strangely because when you desire something, it's almost as good as getting the thing. And this can be used to our advantage. So when building a new habit, something that's good for you, if you make something you look forward to, you'll be much more likely to do it and follow the plan. And this is where you can actually use this concept called temptation bundle. It's pretty cool names they got. So temptation bundle works in this way. Take a behavior you think of as important, but you don't really like doing it, but you know it's good for you. And you link it to something you like to do that you're drawn to. So you can use dopamine to your advantage when building a new habit. So let's take the story of Ronan Byrne. He's an engineering student from Ireland. Ronan knew that he should exercise more, but he didn't really like it. What he did like, though, was watching a lot of. He had this exercise bike. He connected the bike to his laptop and wrote some code that allowed Netflix to run if he was cycling at a certain point. Honestly, props to this guy for doing that much. Like, what? So by linking his exercise literally to the behavior that he was naturally drawn to, he made an activity that was, like, not fun for him into a good one. You don't have to be crazy cool like this guy. What you can do, I think of a simple thing, is maybe if you want to watch Netflix and you need to work out too, why not you go to the gym, you go to a treadmill, you go, like, elliptical or Stairmaster, and you watch it there. That way you know you're getting a workout done, plus you get to watch what you might like to do or whatever your vice. So how does it work? Remember, it's just find a way of something that is not as fun but for you and pair it with something that you love doing and already automatically doing as a habit. That way you can temptation bundle to do that thing and it'd be good for you. To make new habits, the thing the most important is to make it as simple and easy to adopt as possible. And the same goes for bad habits. To make them as hard to do, the less likely you are to do them. For example, for the author James Clear, it was hard to send greeting cards. His wife, though, never missed an occasion. And because she kept a box of cards at home and pre-sorted for each occasion, this little preparation made it so easy for her to send these gift cards. She didn't have to go buy some. She didn't have to figure out when. So whenever she knew, she could easily just pick it up and send one out. And this works two ways. Same thing. For the bad habits, if you don't want to watch TV, unplug it. Take the batteries out of the remote. Make it as annoying and hard for you. You will remove it. And if you really want to do it, well, you'll know, like, oh, I'm consciously choosing to do this thing. And it was still so hard to do. Another trick for making a habit easier in the long term is what's called the two-minute rule. The two-minute rule is a way to make any new thing, activity you do, feel pretty manageable. It goes this way. To make something into a habit that is doable within 2 minutes. So let's say if you want to read more and then don't commit to reading one book every week. That's pretty hard. Instead, have a habit of reading 2 minutes or two pages, maybe a stake per night. If you're on a marathon, simply commit to putting your running gear every day after work on. It's easily small accomplishments you can build. And as you do the 1 2-minute thing, you the habit of like, oh, this was so easy. I don't even feel any effort. Then you can scale it up to even more. Something important to know is the reward from your habits must be pretty immediate or the behavior doesn't hold on. And there's a story that tells this pretty well. It's a story of a successful public health researcher named Stephen Levy. In the 1990s, Levy was working in a neighborhood in Karachi, Pakistan. He was really good at his job. He was able to reduce diarrhea among local children by 52%. That's like more than half. And he cut pneumonia by almost half. And heart disease by 50%. He also reduced heart disease rates by 48% and the skin infections by 35%. And his secret was having nicer soap. His achievements were the result of having nice soap. It's a crazy thing, like what? But he knew that hand washing and basic sanitation were essential to reducing illness. The locals knew this too, but they weren't just turning their knowledge into health. So Luby hired Procter & Gamble to introduce a premium soap into the neighborhood for free. Overnight, hand washing became so fun to do. This soap was easy to put on, smelled nice, and suddenly everyone was washing their hands because it was a really good thing to do, and it smelled good and made them feel good. So it shows basically how small this change was, but how good it was for the community. Because habits need to be satisfying. This is true in everything, and this is due to the human evolution. We live in a society that is known as a delayed return environment. Seeing as you turn up at the office desk and you return, your paycheck doesn't come until the month. You go to the gym in the morning, but you don't lose weight overnight. Unfortunately, our brains evolved to cope with the immediate return environment, and in a good way, because back in the past, like, you had to react to danger immediately so you wouldn't die. So now you know how to make really good habits using the four-frame system. Now, you may have your own system or framework to keep track of the habits and keeping the contract with yourself. And that's by doing something called habit tracking. There's so many apps in the app store that are free out there. Anything you might want to try, you can do, or even do a journal where you make it yourself. Anywhere, but you can record it. Even the fridge, just put an erasable whiteboard on there. One of the biggest people that everybody's heard of who did a habit tracking was Benjamin Franklin. At the age of 20, he kept a notebook and recorded 13 personal virtues. And he did his best to adhere to them. Every night, he would record his progress. You can do this by doing it in a simple calendar, diary, cross it off every day, whatever happens. It's something to see you're making progress and gives yourself a little hit of dopamine at the same time. You realize that you can do things you want to down and promise to try it out, see what happens. Remember, if you want to build a new habit, try stacking it with another one that you already do, so make it more fun. It could be meditating, and if you can find the time, try thinking about those things you do effortlessly each day, like drinking coffee. Just make it a stack of, okay, I drink coffee, then I meditate. I meditate, then I drink coffee. And soon that will become your normal habit and normal routine to fit, not worrying about how to add more. And take it slow. It can be easy to add so many different habits you want at one time, one at a time. As you can integrate things, it's better than adding too many at once. Thank you so much for listening and see you in the next one.
You've been listening to Pure Entropy. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Really means a lot. Appreciate all the time. Take it out of your day to give it a listen. If you'd like to support further, you can do so by leaving us a review on your favorite podcasting platform of choice. See you in the next one.